of looking to the prophets of the Hebrew scripture. So this is Amos, and I told him, yeah, sure, I'll preach on the Old Testament lesson. And then eventually through the week, I read it and see what it said. Okay. This is what the Lord God showed me, a basket of summer fruit. He said, Amos, what do you see? And Amos said, a basket of summer fruit. Then the Lord said to me, the end has come. My people Israel, I will never again pass them by. The songs of the temple shall become wailings in that day, says the Lord God. The dead bodies shall be many, cast out in every place. Be silent. This should go 2 pages at a time. Hear this, you that trample on the needy and bring your ruin the poor of the land, saying, when will the new moon be over so that we may sell grain, and the Sabbath so that we may offer wheat for sale? We will make the ephah small and the shekel great and practice deceit with false balances, buying the poor for silver and the needy for a pair of sandals and selling the sweepings of the wheat. The Lord has sworn by the pride of Jacob, surely I will never forget any of their deeds. Shall not the land tremble on this account? For everyone mourn who lives in it, and all of it rise like the Nile and be tossed about and sink again, like the Nile of Egypt. On that day, says the Lord, I will make the sun go down at noon and darken the earth in broad daylight. I will turn your feasts into mourning and all your songs into lamentation. I will bring sackcloth on all loins and baldness on every head. That's not nice. I will make it like the mourning for an only son and the end of it like a bitter day. The time is surely coming, says the Lord God, and when I will send a famine on the land, not a famine of bread or a thirst for water, but of hearing the words of the Lord. They shall wander from sea to sea, and from north to south. They shall run to and fro, seeking the word of the Lord, but they shall not find it. So take that. Wow. Now you see what Stephanie was talking about. Do a children's sermon on that one. Yeah. Well, or this sermon, either. One. I would also like to say, too, thanks a lot, Bart. Israel is a mess. All kinds of bad things are going on. Amos rails against the king and his rulers, proclaiming God's pending destruction and abandonment. Is that it? Is that the whole thing? Well, like any text, we should examine the content, of course, and see the whole picture. So what is Amos about? And were things really that bad? I have a summary from a interpreter's Bible that I want to read. It's a paragraph, I think, that will explain the context, you know, all of Amos. And I hope this is helpful, for I think most of us need a refreshing about what really is happening here and why are things so bad. Amos' purpose was to penetrate the veneer of self-satisfied complacency to the rotten core of the religious and social life of the leaders of Israel, who proudly assume their prosperity to be evidence of the effectiveness of their cultic observances. They had been ungratefully false to the faith of their ancestors by Baal ritual practices, pagan. They had repudiated their ancestors' obedience to Yahweh's commands by heartless exploitation of the cult center, marketplace, and law court. Amos foresaw that their rude awakening was at hand in a worldwide movement of punishing judgment, a deadly day of Yahweh, which could mean the death of the nation at the hands of a God-empowered invading army. The situation looked almost hopeless to Amos, though possibly if they turn and seek the Lord, and if they let justice roll down like waters. A remnant of the nation might avoid the coming death or exile to a foreign land. It was this God-impelled urgency to proclaim that the lion has roared in the hope that at least a few might escape this death-dealing leap, which caused the lay prophet Amos to speak out. So yes, things were pretty bad, but not hopeless, as some of Amos's words there indicate. But now here some of the rest of Amos, if we're going to be fair to him. This is chapter 5. You've heard some of these lines before. Is not the day of the Lord darkness, not light and gloom with no brightness in it? I despise your feasts, and I take no delight in your solemn assemblies. Even though you offer me your burnt offerings and grain offerings, I will not accept them. And the offerings of well-being of your fatted animals, I will not look upon. Take away from me the noise of your songs. I will not listen to the melody of your hearts. But let justice roll down like water and righteousness like an ever-flowing stream. Tiny little grain of hope there, but if... And be clear, the word righteous and righteousness gets misunderstood a lot of times. It really means right relatedness. And that's why it's always with justice and righteousness. Right relatedness, and it's used particularly in terms of creating community. The right relations create community. Well, the lectionary creators did kind of a mean thing to us, don't you think? By giving us just the verses I read at the beginning. But the situation looked almost hopeless to Amos. And the situation had a remedy, perhaps, he says, is given for the possibility of restoration. Now, let's be careful to not soften the prophet's warnings to try to escape the depth of Amos's roaring against the evils and injustices of his time. Instead, that's easy to do, but instead, how about we take a look at our own time? Scary thought, isn't it? It's like, oops. Let's go from Amos's time in Israel to our own. But isn't that the way it's supposed to work anyway? What is God's word through Amos to us and our nation and world? Could our scene be as bad as Amos's Israel? We regularly refer to theologian Karl Barth's line, you've heard it before, we should preach with the Bible in one hand and the newspaper in the other. Well, you know, Amos didn't even have or need a newspaper. But we have not only newspapers, but all sorts of ways to see what is going on in our world and in our nation. Thought it might be okay to maybe just go racing through some of what's going on out there. gender and race and sexual orientation, which affects so many people in so many ways every day. Voting rights, a gerrymandering and citizenship question. Poverty amidst the great wealth of this nation. Wage discrimination. Corporate greed. Sexual assault. Addiction and their treatment issues. Healthcare. Gun violence. Terrorist attacks, home and abroad. Somalia, 25 or more people dead yesterday. Our prisons, social media and privacy issues. Then, of course, the environment, including the floods and fires, and a president who dismisses the science. Immigration, finally, huge and complex issue, which just keeps going and going. Amidst photos and even some Border Patrol officers' accounts of the prison facility horrors amongst immigrants, a president and vice president continue to say conditions are good and children and families are treated well while we look at the pictures on TV. Can you hear Amos screaming? Yeah, there's many more I could probably name if we thought about it a little more. I want to say at this point that St. Mark's should be glad and proud for its role in the immigration issue of having a Hotel San Marcos. That was about a week every month, and last week was one of those weeks, and there are immigrants there, a lot of them at first, some go, then more come in, and it's a wonderful thing to do, is welcome, feed, clothe, love, and help them get on their way. So I say, thank God for Amos, the prophet, a lowly shepherd, by the way, calling for justice. And thank God for another lowly prophet, Jesus of Nazareth, God's very self, come to bring justice to all the poor and oppressed and promote righteousness and right relatedness and create a loving community, what we now call the body of Christ. It's where we receive the bread of life and the cup of saving grace. And thus, fed and loved, we can go out into our troubled world and one way or another be God's Amoses. Trust it, and may it be so. Amen.
I just love our music in the summertime. I love it year-round, but it seems a lot more fun in the summer. We've come to the time where we have the opportunity to go directly before God, to offer up what's on our hearts and on our minds. Friends, what are your prayers this day? Yes, Mary. Continued prayers for the healing of Mary's lower left leg. God, in your mercy. Yes, Gerard. Prayers personally for Gerard with issues with his parathyroid gland. He's praying he won't have surgery. Prayers for his family. Prayers for his community of Montclair Apartments, and greater prayers for our U.S. troops and cybersecurity, but people from all over the world. God, in your mercy. Yes, Sue. Prayers of healing for Rob Selby as he continues to face challenges after his spinal surgery. And prayers for Pam and the girls, his family. God, in your mercy, our prayers. Yes. Prayers of thanksgiving, but also continued prayers of healing for Jane's friend, Steve, who was shot on the 4th of July. He was able to open his eyes and then also say hello to his daughter. So, God, in your mercy. Are there others? Yes, Libby.
I'm going to raise call for prayers for Charles Ayers. He had a bad fall on Friday, and Jean got him over to the emergency room. He has stitches, but he's at home, and he's okay. So I just want to tell everybody to pray for
him. Prayers for Charles. He fell on Friday, and prayers for Jean as well. God, in your mercy, your prayers. Yes.
Nancy Faflin and Jim donated these recorders, and it's wonderful. This is a bass recorder, and we don't have a tenor up here, but we have an alto, we have a soprano, we have a sopranino, and they also did give us tenors in case any of you ever want to play them. But we're very grateful.
We are grateful for the gift of music and musical instruments. God, in your mercy. Your prayers. Yes. Right. The outpatient. Prayers for an outpatient surgery for Anne to replace the batteries for a nerve stimulator. God, in your mercy, for our prayers. I would request prayers for our pastor Bart. He and Elizabeth spent the week in San Francisco. He's restarted his doctorate of ministry program, and it sounds like it was a really good week, but as he and Elizabeth travel home to us, we ask for prayers of traveling mercy. And along the same vein, I have to give prayers of gratitude for the support that comes from this church for our children. Speaking collectively, but also personally, as a mom, my children have baptized in this church, and you have held true to those vows of baptism. They, all three, were able to attend camp, and Aiden, actually, my oldest, went back as a counselor, and they just look so forward to that week at Montlore. And now the boys will be leaving tomorrow morning at 5 o'clock to fly to Chicago for triennium. They will be joined with over 5,000 other young people from the Presbyterian Church all over the United States and even worldwide. All these young people will be gathering at Purdue University for a week of worship and fellowship and fun. And so with a heart of gratitude that I give thanks to this congregation for the ways in which you support our children, but also pray for traveling mercies for all of those young people as they gather together this next week. God, in your mercy. Fran. Prayers of healing and care for Pat's great-granddaughter, who will finally, after a year of a long struggle, will be receiving a bone marrow transplant. So guidance for those surgeons, but also thanksgiving that it will be available, and then as she faces the upcoming year with the challenges ahead of her. God, in your mercy, hear prayers. People of God, let us... Oh, yes, Mary Helen, sorry. For passion and persistence of folks who have stood up and have stood against our immigration policies. And we know this weekend there was a big focus on ICE raids that were supposed to be taking place. The vigil of lights that took place throughout the United States, we give thanks. God, in your mercy. Let us pray. Gracious God, we give you thanks for this day. We give you thanks for the words of our prophet who has helped us to continue to grapple with the ways in which we are not followers of Christ, but the words of hope, knowing that your justice and your truth is ever present and even more powerful to create change in a world that so desperately needs it. We give you thanks for the people of this gathered community who come to be together for the work in which they do in the world and in our own community. We give you thanks for our pastor and for his continued efforts to learn and grow and for the ways in which he leads this congregation. We ask that you give him traveling mercies. We pray for our young people as they head off to triennium. We pray your blessing on their time together, that it be rich and full, and that they may grow in love and wisdom and understanding. We give you thanks for the many blessings and for the prayers of praise and thanksgiving, for the ways in which we see your Spirit at work in our world. We give you thanks for the gift of music and art and creativity, for the gift of the children among us in our community. Continue to make us your people. Give us courage. Give us hearts full of compassion, arms for a wide embrace. And we ask that you help us as we go back out into the world this week to serve you with joy and gladness. And all the prayers that we have, both spoken and unspoken, we offer to you this day. In your Son's name we pray. Amen. Do good and share what you have, for such sacrifices are pleasing to God. Let us bring our offerings to God. Let us pray. May these gifts which we offer be used to bring justice to those who are weak, a family to those without, fairness to those who feel outcast, and hope to all who are needy. This we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
I invite you to this table, which is Christ's table. It's what happens when there is right relatedness amongst us. We become actually the body of Christ. We are both welcome and we are encouraged to have everyone at the table. Let us pray. God of love and freedom, we give you thanks and praise that when the nations have strayed far from your ways, you sent Amos and other prophets to call them back. And when we are defeated, downcast, and desolate in the power of the Holy Spirit, you make Jesus present to us. God, our Redeemer, on the way you feed us with the bread of life and cup of salvation, now send down your Holy Spirit, that we may be made holy as you are holy, and that these gifts of the earth and human hands may be for us a communion in the body and blood of Christ.
Merciful God, in Jesus, through story, miracle, and example, you turn us and all creation upside down. Direct our hearts in the ways we should go. Visit the downtrodden and set them on their feet again. Restore the land, sea, and air of your creation, that all things and creatures and people may fulfill their created purpose in reflecting your glory and singing your praise until the day when you are all in all. Amen. And now we pray as Jesus taught his first disciples, saying, Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our sins, as we forgive those who sin against us. Save us from the time of trial, and deliver us from evil. For the kingdom, the power, and glory are yours, now and forever.